Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value.
Mr. Speaker, here's the latest reality game. Let's play Wall Street bailout. Rule one, rush the decision. Time the game to fall in the week before Congress is set to adjourn and just 6 weeks before an historic election so your opponents will be preoccupied, pressured, distracted, and in a hurry. Rule two, disarm the public through fear. Warn that the entire global financial system will collapse and the world will fall into another Great Depression. Control the media enough to ensure that the public will not notice that this bailout will indebt them for generations, taking them from trillions of dollars, taking from them trillions of dollars they earned and deserve to keep. Rule three, control the playing field and set the rules. Hide from the public and most of the Congress just who is arranging this deal. Communicate with the public through leaks to media insiders. Limit any open congressional hearing. Communicate with Congress via private teleconferencing calls. Heighten political anxiety by contacting each political party separately. Treat members of Congress condescendingly, telling them that the matter is so complex that they must rely on those few insiders who really do know what's going on. Rule four, divert attention and keep people confused. Manage the news cycle so Congress and the public have no time to examine who destroyed the prudent banking system that served America so well for 60 years after the financial meltdown of the 1920s. Rule 5. Always keep in mind the goal is to privatize gains to a few and socialize losses to the many. For 30 years in one financial scandal after another, Wall Street game masters have kept billions of dollars of their gains and shifted their losses to American taxpayers. Once this bailout is in place, the greed game will begin again. But I have a counter game. It's called Wall Street Reckoning. Congress shouldn't go home to campaign. It should put America's accounts in order. To Wall Street insiders, it says no.
You with us, Miss Linda?
Okay, what?
I was just making sure you were there.
Okay, I kept hearing this weird thing that was playing. So.
I was playing that as an intro to help you get settled in. And
oh, I was ready to go. That's why I couldn't figure out what was... Okay, I just don't understand, Ron, why we're not allowed to use this studio the way we're supposed to. This is a problem. So
It was a problem with mine, and I ended up having to go to use Google Chrome, and that's been the only way I've been able to Skype in. I can't do it on AOL or Internet Explorer. It wigs out. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know that. Well, I'm on Google, so I don't know. Guys, welcome to the chat room. Sorry that we've got so many problems. Let me try this one more time to see if it'll work. Hold on. Thanks, Ron. Is there any way we can contact BTR and get this straightened out? Because Terry and I can't do our shows.
Well, I will contact him again. I actually sent him a ticket about it because I was having an issue with mine, and I thought, well, maybe it was something in my system, you know, that wasn't allowing it to work right. But and
no,
that's when
we've never had a problem before.
And that's where I got my that other alternate login or Skype number. They said, we'll use this and see if that works, and it did.
All right. Well, it only worked when you emailed it to me that time real quick. I mean, there was nothing I could do today. I tried every trick nothing worked. So, all right.
All right. Well, we'll get after them.
We'll just have to continue. And I want to welcome everybody. Thanks, Ron. And, of course, Bill, Rod Luke, Mikey from the hot seat, Yo, and FT, and hopefully more will join us. We've only wasted 7 minutes, so that's not too bad. Anyway, so you guys know my intro, and I wanted to play a little bit of this because we've had members that have been ill, and I've been praying like a little banshee. Chad called me last night, and it was too late to get a hold of everyone else because Bill wasn't doing well, and I called him this morning. He said he's doing better, so you better get well, Bill Strong family, and we're going to do a little prayer today. And we'll do some praise and worship right now with How Great Thou Art. Or maybe you can play it. I don't think I can do it. Oh, there it goes. From the left coast. I'm Linda, your host, coming from beautiful downtown Oceanside. I swear it's not January right now. It is July. I am sitting in 84-degree heat. It is gorgeous. I'm wearing shorts and a sleeveless T-shirt. Unbelievable. We are blessed here for that. It is gorgeous outside. I also wanted to just say that we're going to read from Scripture, and then I'm going to get into my rants because I need to focus on what's real, and I do believe that, he says he's jealous about the weather. Yeah, I could be at the beach right now, but I'm doing this. We need to focus on God, because I think if we don't, like Michael Magic says, and all of us believe, if we don't put him first, we're not going to win this battle. We're not going to be victorious. These schmucks are going to take us over, and they're just going to roll over us like Pol Pot and the rest of them have done. So let's go to Luke chapter 8, and this is verse 40 verse 1 through 50. And this is where Jesus is speaking to Simon. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved me much, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And then they sat at meat with him, began to say with themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So we know that our Lord is great, and he is a healing God. And we walk by faith, not by sight. So these are things that people need to understand. So I'm not even sure if I need my speakers on, but so it's just very, very weird. And welcome, Lonnie, to our chat room. And I want to go to, you know, the things that have been going on, the things that the Conehead in chief says, it just astounds me. The scandals of Benghazi, the scandals of IRS, the idiotic FBI. I have no faith in any of these people. This is why we must have faith in the Lord. He's the only one. I mean, we have to have that, and then we will be victorious and stand together. Okay, so here we go. So here we have Der Fuhrer, Oblabla, or as I call him, Barry V, and the V stands for Vissarionovich. That's Stalin's middle name, because that fits him pretty well. He has proclaimed, kind of like King George III, you know, and I'm quoting or paraphrasing, I have a pen and I have a phone, and this is a year for action. And then, and our treasonous Congress of baboons do not care. You know, they probably call the Pravda media and tell them to stick a mic and camera in front of this clown so he can spew his Marxist BS every day. And I was remembering how Bill was ranting yesterday, and I was going to say, I get it, Bill, I'm ticked off too, and I'm ashamed of the folks who occupy the district of corruption, saddened by some fellow Americans who are too lazy to even do alternative media research. I feel like I'm in a bad cartoon depicting ancient Rome, standing between Moronicus and Stupidicus. And you wonder why Glenn Beck writes a book called Arguing with Idiots? Boy, I must say that when this all melts down, I'm praying that the common sense, patriotic, God-loving people in this fight are victorious. I'm telling you, it just ticks you off. Definitely want to go into the headlines today since I actually am on the air. I don't know how much this is going to cost me because I'm on my mother's phone. It's the only way I could get in and actually see the studio. So one of my friends sends this to me, and this was about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and Fast Track, and it says, she says, I'm forwarding the attached resolution by the city of Los Angeles, which really astounded me because they're like really libtards, and they were opposing the TPP, and there's this, apparently all over Twitter, they're having a Twitter storm on this, opposing the TPP. And it says, the city of Los Angeles with the mayor and city council in agreement has passed a formal resolution to officially oppose Fast Track, well, at least they've done that, as part of their legislative agenda. And then she quotes Jefferson of, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny, and when the government fears the people, you have liberty. So this one, let me see if I can bring this up, and I was reading earlier, it says, it's huge, it's a resolution, it's got all these whereases and wherefores, and it says, any official person of the city of Los Angeles with respect to legislation rules, okay, they go on, and they're talking about the Trans-Pacific to TPP is being negotiated between the United States and 11 Pacific Rim countries by the U.S. Trade Representative in secret without any consultation with the Los Angeles City government nor through National League of Cities, which are all about the Green Monster, nor the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And then it goes talking about the The text of the TPP is being drafted with advice from transnational corporations who will greatly benefit from its rules. Gee, I wonder how that's going on. Yes. So then the conclusion, it's a lot of whereases. They're pissed off at the fast track because it says, whereas fast track procedures make it impossible for our elected representatives to adequately study and assess the Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty presented to them in order to determine if this proposed agreement is in the best interest of the American people in general and the people of Los Angeles specifically. And it goes on and it says, now therefore be it resolved with concurrence of the mayor that by adoption of this resolution, the city of Los Angeles hereby includes in its 2013-2014 federal legislative program sponsorship / support for legislative or administrative action to halt the fast-track process of the TPP and instead to allow the TPP a fully transparent public debate in Congress until its impacts are fully assessed by all stakeholders in order to protect the rights of the people of Los Angeles, the best interests of our local businesses and workforce, the health of our environment, and the sovereignty of the Los Angeles city government. So that was one of my little headlines that I got to hang out with today. And there's a ton more, so I just want to go back here. And if you want to jump in at any time, you can always unmute yourself, I think, Ron. So Bill was saying, read A Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy O'Toole, imagine Obama as Ignatius J. Riley. Haven't read that one. I bet it's good. Okay. These are the headlines that I'm dealing with. So this is just – and the other one I think I sent to Bill earlier, and I didn't know if he got it because I know he was sick, but there was one from Jeff Schwick, and they were talking about the actual taxpayer cost to license illegal aliens because they passed that already. Good old Mussolini Brown has done that. They license illegal aliens to drive in California, and the cost is going to be $65 million, and this is going to be on our backs, as it always comes down to it. And it says that cost is growing. So there was a Assemblyman Brian Jones from one of our areas, a Republican from Santee, but he doesn't sound really bright either on this whole deal. So Brown has ignited the debate, setting aside $64.7 million for the program for this proposed 2014-2015 budget. He's talking about hiring more than 800 temporary workers to help process and the expected surge in applications for licenses. And it actually costs $33 as an application fee just to try to renew your license or get one. I just went through that. And I did see Ron on my license because it was 2008 when I had renewed it prior, and then every 5 years, so 2013, I had to do it again. Now, I looked at my old license, and it did not have the DD and the 18 figures. And so I know that obviously must have all been put together in 2012 for everybody. But when I tried to decipher it, it's actually part of the issuance date, and I think my birthday is in there. There's a whole bunch of stuff there's a couple numbers that didn't make sense that are probably evil, but I have to find out what those are. So that's what's going on in the motor vehicle in California. And so this clown says, it's unbelievable, but that they're doing this. This Brian Jones from Santee, my understanding is the applicant fee is supposed to pay for all of this, but I mean, these people are not – the whole thing is nuts. I mean, I cannot believe that they're doing this. It says the DMV documents reveal that it will cost the state $141.8 million through 2017 to issue licenses to an estimated 1.4 million applicants, and they're also expecting another surge from other states. And let me give you a little hint on how much these guys get paid at the DMV. The report does not identify how many workers would staff the office nor their salaries. However, some monthly salaries by job classification are provided, up to $7,000 a month. This is per month, monthly, for a top manager, $4,000 for the person giving the driving test, and almost $4,000 for a cashier. So you can see where this is going. I mean, this is just I get so tired of it, and I could go on and on because my email box was just absolutely filled with stuff that would curl your hair. But I wanted to give you before we take phone calls, and I'll probably do that in the next 5 or 10 minutes because I wanted to go through these two stories about a week and a half ago, and this was a hat tip to Mike Slater because his show was absolutely amazing, talking about these. And they were on different days, but they were considered, to me, crony corporatism stories. And this is a perfect example of what's going on locally, statewide, and, of course, nationally. And this one, of course, involves New York, which is the communist Bill de Blasio, and he was the one deciding to ban the horse-drawn carriages around Central Park. Now, people like you and me, we don't think like these morons. We don't think like these crazy people. So we don't understand why they're doing this. So then you dig a little deeper, and then you just follow the money, and then you discover the real reasons behind it. So here's what happened. Apparently, these people who wanted to develop land, and there's, you know, if you look at New York, there's no open space except Central Park itself, and they're not going to do that. So they had to ban, they probably lobbied Bill de Blasio and paid him lots of money to get rid of the horses, because what's left to develop but the land in that they could, or these buildings, would be the horse stables. So that's the only way they can get rid of the horse stables, to buy that property and then do whatever they want and make their money with their greedy little grubby hands and their mammon-worshipping little hearts. Anyway, so this is just one example. So now you know why Bill de Blasio, the commie, who probably has his hands out all the time for these people who lobby or special interests, and I would imagine people who do developing and buying up properties like that have lots of money to throw around. But you see, there's never enough for these people because they're secular humanists, and that's all they think about. They're just, you know, idol-worshipping schmucks. So that's why they want to take the horses away. And, of course, they lie and say that it's cruelty or inhumane to these horses. Bull crap. Excuse my French. First of all, your horses are not human, so it's not inhumane, and therefore you know where the rest of that goes. It's just, it's like the back end of the horse and what comes out of it that spews out of these people's mouths. And then we also have the other situation where people are talking, they're still talking about this stuff because it's still fresh in people's minds. Well, back under Panty Waist Bush, who I have no love lost for either, that little miserable, another secular humanist, George W. Bush, the younger of the two, decided to sign into law on Christmas Eve, prior to his getting kicked out of office or leaving office because he's no longer eligible to run. And, of course, the people in Congress got bought off by these three companies, which I'll explain, to ban the incandescent light bulbs. Why would they do that? Well, let's follow the money once again of the greedy ones. So, of course, they went to Congress and they lobbied, and this would be General Electric, Philips, and Sylvania, the biggies, right? So they had this great idea to have these ugly, squirrely little mercury-filled, ugly fluorescent pieces of garbage that don't do any good and no one can stand them, and they make everybody's skin turn green when you look in a mirror. It's horrible, and they were priced out at like $4 or $5 a bulb, and that was ridiculous. So naturally, people weren't going to buy them unless they're forced to by this fascism. So they wanted to force the people to buy their ugly mercury-filled expensive bulbs that no one wants. So they lie about the incandescent bulbs and say that they are bad for the environment, which is another bunch of horse manure because we've been using them since Edison put them out. It's as much manure as Gore's global warming stuff views. So they lobby Congress to ban the good bulbs that we like, to then force us to buy the other ones in order to make more money, because they know they can make more money, but the free market system won't allow them to do that. So naturally, they have to outlaw them. You know, there comes a time when this type of greed is over the top, and it sure as hell is not a free market system, nor does it have anything to do with freedom. So I'm going to go ahead and go to this one because this is explains it, and I remember reading some of this. So I wanted to refresh my memory, and I went to Road to Serfdom because this is all central planning. These people are just, you know, they just can't leave us alone. So here's a quote and a little sentence by Benito Mussolini, the father of much fascism. And his quote is, "We were the first to assert that the more complicated the forms assumed by civilization, the more restricted the freedom of the individual must become," end quote. And Hayek writes, "It is a revealing fact that few planners are content to say that central planning is desirable. Most of them affirm that we can no longer choose, but are compelled by circumstances beyond our control to substitute planning for competition. The myth is deliberately cultivated that we are embarking on the new course, not out of free will, but because competition is spontaneously eliminated by technological changes, which we neither can reverse nor should wish to prevent. This argument is rarely developed at any length. It is one of the assertions taken over by one writer from another until, by mere iteration, it has come to be accepted and an established fact. It is, nevertheless, devoid of foundation. The tendency toward monopoly and planning is not the result of any objective facts beyond our control, but the product of opinions fostered and propagated for half a century until they have come to dominate all of our policies." So, as you see, welcome, Cal Living. This is how this happens, and none of it is rooted in fact, of course. This is just what people want, and so therefore we have to go through this fascist nonsense. And I do want to take calls because I was a little bit ready to go, and then I got all flustered, of course, with my can't call in, so I'm going to have to figure out how much to pay my mom for this call. Anyway, 646-378-0321, Bill, Mike, Cal, Lonnie, anybody. Ron, you can pick up anytime if you're still there. And just weigh in on
I'm
what we talked
still
about.
Here.
Oh, I was just wondering what you thought about Bill de Blasio and his banning the horses and the Sylvania GE and Phillips being such schmucks that they would do that.
Well, you know, there is nothing, and I do mean nothing, that surprises me coming out of New York.
It's sad.
What more can you say? GE and the rest of them, you know, you got to expect that garbage. It's just stupidity.
Well, the thing is, it's exactly what Rockefeller did with the banking. They don't want competition. The weird part is they were competing with themselves, and they got this stupid idea. It is stupidity that they thought, we want to make more money. Why do they need to make more money? My God, isn't a billion or so enough? I mean, I don't get it.
They're creating a monopoly amongst themselves. You know, even though it's not technically a monopoly, wherein you just have one corporation, but it's pretty close, you know.
Well, they did it because if they ban it and outlaw it, then no one can come out and do it again. Yeah, that's the deal. Absolutely. Well, they don't know one thing, and I don't know how much they're going to be worth down the road when everybody figures this out, that they hate those squirrely things. I have 7 cases of 100-watt incandescents, so they might be worth a hell of a lot someday. And I have Mikey, too, on the line. Welcome, sir.
Hey, Linda, Ron, what's going on?
Mr. Mike, how are you, sir?
Ranting.
Oh,
feel free to rant.
Doing just fine on this lovely Wednesday. Well, to continue on at the topic of the top of the show about returning to God, you know, I've been saying that too, and you know, it has to start from house to house, because
right.
It's certainly not going to start from city to city. I think that ship has sailed a long, long time ago. And, you know, all of this is part of that agenda that was right under our noses. And, you know, it's just sad, though, that so many people are willing to just acquiesce and say, well, you know, this is just the way it is, and, you know, the strong eat the weak. But, you know,
yeah,
it's really not about that. We are not like the rest of the animal kingdom. At least we're not supposed to be. But you know what? We're worse. Because we're the only species on the planet, first of all, that charges money to live here. And then we're also the only species to kill our own species because we feel it's not enough. You know, when a bird creates a nest for its chicks, it doesn't charge those chicks money to live there. When wolves travel in packs and take over a cave to live in, it doesn't charge it money. I mean, they work for the pack, they live for the pack, they protect the pack, and they wipe out other species, but for food, and if their territory is being attacked. We do it just for the sake of money. And what's so pathetic is we can't even take it with us. We pass it on to people, mostly our children, that don't even really, at some point, don't even appreciate it because it wasn't even earned. And then they die, too, and leave this world naked. So
you know,
it's just pathetic.
I know. It is crazy. In fact, I'm not sure that everybody on the earth thinks that way, like you were describing, even though it is a human thing, because I remember Glenn talking about this when the pilgrims came and they wanted to buy New York or Manhattan or whatever, and the Indians sold them to them for beans. And the Indians were laughing because they understood nature's law. They understood that they were laughing because they were thinking to themselves, these people think we own this. God owns this. I mean, you know, that's the whole point. You know, it's weird because there's no, the whole concept doesn't make sense. And that's why I also had a couple paragraphs here, if I had time, but, and I may, this was 1792 by James Madison, his ideas on property. Well, the reason that they had to deal with the ideas on property was because in the feudal system or under King George, they all got to have property. The king, his appointed people, he wanted to have it, and they still had to, just like the EPA and the Agenda 21, you had to do with that property what they tell you or what they allow you to do. And that's why it was near and dear to them in that sense. I understand the Indians, too, because they make a lot of sense. But if you do own something, especially intellectual property, and your right to just live freely under nature's law and nature's God, man, that, you know, those things tie in together. And people do not know this, and that's why I said in my opening rant that I'm just sick of it. They don't even do alternative media to educate themselves, let alone read the things that we have done. My God, it's not like less than 2 pages on the Internet for free, all this stuff. You know, whatever you want to learn. My God, you don't even have to go to Amazon and pay $20 for a book. I just get so frustrated.
Because, well, one, people are so entrenched in their reality TV and their mob wives and housewives of this idiot and housewives of that idiot. And
Jersey Shores and all
that.
Yeah,
the whole deal. And
very wholesome programming.
Yeah, well, and not only that, but yet you have so many people, especially outside of America, that were born into captivity, and they're just, you know, they just enjoy being complicit. You know, when we talk about, you know, like when you bring up ancient Rome or I bring it up, I think of the movie Gladiator.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And Maximus died to restore Marcus Aurelius' dream. There was a dream that was once Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And our founding fathers had a dream that was once America. And I'm just not ready to let go of it.
I'm not either.
You know, I'm just not ready to say, well, it is the way it is. And, you know, the strong overwhelm the weak. But who's strong and who's weak? And how do you define strength and weakness? Through bank accounts and property ownership? To me, I define strength and weaknesses by who the person is and what they stand for.
Well, you're
go ahead.
I was going to say you're absolutely right. And Mike, I'll tell you, it's not physical strength that defines strength or weakness. And we're seeing that play out in our government. strength is the conviction of your principles and not being willing to compromise.
Precisely. And when you talk about that, I would mention our Lord and Savior does not compromise. He is the same today as he always was and always will be. And one of the things that I learned in my first church service with these new people is the message was God's indefeatable power. And if you realize just who God is and how amazing and how indefeatable he is, man, we got the best on our side. We have to be on his side. And we, like I said, we walk by faith and not by sight, and he will see that, and he's going to empower us. I'm telling you, you just go with him, and you start doing these things, and you speak and preach and whatever, and pray and get on your knees. It's going to work. We are in victory, but we've got to still, you know, we still have to pick up a sword or two. So, you know, we got to believe it. We cannot, we have to go by faith. We cannot do otherwise.
Well, there's really nothing, nothing but that. I mean, all that's in this world is material.
I know.
What's solid? What's seen? What can be touched? What is tangible? I mean, that's the God of this world. 1 John 5:19. The world lies in the power of the wicked one. Well, who is that? When Jesus was tempted by the devil, and the
right.
devil said, "You bow down and do obeisance to me, I will give you these kingdoms." Well,
right.
Well,
but
how could he give them the kingdoms if he didn't own them? And where are these kingdoms?
That.
Well, they're here.
I'm not saying he didn't. You know, when you look at materialism and in its pure form or evil form or whatever, I understand that you cannot serve two masters. But there are certain things that we do need in nature. God does not want us to thirst or to hunger or to not have shelter and be able to feed our children. So that's nature's law and nature's God. So when you look at it that way, and these are the things that the founders, God bless them, they understood that. They really, they racked their brains on this stuff. They got on their knees and prayed about it. You know, whether they, maybe they were deists, maybe they had come to see the Lord better when they got older because, you know, they were getting close to trying to get into heaven, you know. But, I mean, these guys got it, you know, and to have what they were dealing with was such evilness in the material world, whether it was Nimrod or Caesar or Pharaoh or whomever, King George III, nobody was allowed to have freedom. And that's why they were so upset, because God wanted you to live freely and be able to pursue. So what if you have two Ferraris? As long as you're willing to love your neighbor and let them live freely and maybe help the poor, my God, go for it. But to ruin others' lives and be a fascist because you have that money, now that's wrong. So you can pick that up.
Well said.
I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of the way I see it. You know, people take things to extremes is what I guess I meant. But thank you, Cal. They do. They just go. Go ahead.
I think we have definitely taken things to extreme in this country, and that's what we're seeing unfolding with, you know, some of the stuff that I'm putting in the chat room about what's
right.
going on in the world monetary system.
Oh,
I mean, you know, Switzerland is now working to trade with the Chinese between the Swiss franc and the Chinese renminbi.
Oh my gosh.
Evidently,
and
Russia.
You said something about Iran. Go ahead.
Yeah, Russia has got a oil for goods deal with Iran that says the White House is concerned. Gee, you think?
Good.
And
good.
the guy that's writing the article points out that in the last 2 years, you think about this: in the last 2 years, the Federal Reserve Bank has purchased over 70% of all the Treasury bonds issued by the Treasury Department.
Good Lord.
Okay. That. Why are they doing that? Because there are no other buyers. There's no market for their debt. There's no market
mm-hmm.
for government bonds. There's just not. And if you add to that, that we know that China imported this year at least 2,000 tons of gold, they estimate that their output, that China's output is around 400 tons a year, what they produce within their own country. So they're estimating that in the last 2 years, China has brought into the country 500 tons of gold, and they're producing 400 tons a year. So there's 5,800 tons. The U.S. is allegedly the world leader in gold, in possession of gold at 8,634 tons. You know, if we can't see the writing on the wall, and this is why it's such a big deal that the Bundesbank gold, well, we're going to, it's going to take 7 years to get you your gold back and all these shenanigans going on, that tells people that we don't have the gold, period.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. I just saw that silver is like just, a little over $20 an ounce right now.
Yep.
It's been fluctuating from 1890 to 21 or something. So I know that pretty soon, once things kind of come to fruition and I've got my car paid off and I'm heading down there, I'm taking the money, I'm doing it. I'm just going to get some stuff, about 20%. Get it done. Get some silver Engelhard 1 ounce bars if he's got them. Maybe he has to order them. I don't know, but I'm going to get some stuff that's very well assayed and as pure as it can be.
Yeah, it's,
so,
you need something tangible, you know, that materialist that material asset. Unfortunately, as you said,
need food and shelter and things like that.
Precisely.
Okay.
Precisely.
And I'm not, you know, and God's not going to deny us those things. And when people bring up the biblical, I heard somebody talking about, you know, him doing the loaves and the fishes and the feeding and all this stuff, and they were equating that to people who don't want to give charity and they should be taxed and, you know, the redistribution and all this stuff. And my head was spinning, and I thought, oh, dear Lord, what am I doing here?
You know, I have addressed that with some folks before, you know. I have one guy on one of the forums that I'm on, and he said, he made the comment that Christ was the biggest left-wing liberal ever. And I said, you're an idiot. I said, now, granted, he did feed the multitudes with the loaves and the fishes, but there's nothing in that story where he went to the neighboring town and stole it from the villagers in the neighboring town.
And held a gun to their heads.
Right. He didn't go and put a gun to somebody's head and forcibly take their goods to feed. He wasn't playing Robin Hood, so let's not get confused here.
I know. It drives you absolutely – it's like, what is wrong with their – I think Michael Savage used to say it well. He says, liberalism is a mental disorder. That was one of the titles of one of his books. And he has that right. I mean, these people are just – cognitive dissonance is beyond, you know, it's like, and it's like, I was hoping that you guys would comment on the Benito Mussolini and what Hayek said about central planning, because this is how they do these things. They don't want freedom. They don't want people to have property. They don't want people to have competition. They don't want a free market. You know, the Austrian school of that theory, it just works so well. My God, let it work and leave people alone, get out of their way, get the regulations, and it's beautiful. I mean, look at the wealth that's been created. And that's what makes me crazy too, when people talk about all this stuff and this idiot John Boehner and everybody else that should be kicked to the curb talk about, we gotta create jobs, we gotta put people back to work. Sit down, John Boehner. Go have a beer and a cigarette and shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. The only way you create wealth is in a free market system. When you look at an individual, let's say a person's got maybe an inheritance or they've got a second on their house and they say, I got some money. I think I want to take a risk and I want to do something cool. I got a product I think someone's going to love and, you know, maybe they'll want it like now and I'll do these things. And he goes and leases out a little storefront. And people love it, and you know he's got more orders than he can deal with, and he's got to hire people, and this is creating wealth out of nothing, as opposed to printing money out of thin air. Hello, I mean, it's not that hard. I don't know.
It's the disease of central central planning. Period.
Yes, inside the mind.
Because central planning believes in the fallacy that they can create market demand, market supply,
sure.
job creation, everything else. And what they don't realize is they're flying in the face of the natural order of things.
Sure. Well, it's fascism because people are being forced. They're forcing out competition. They're central planning. They're using national socialism like Nazism and brute force like Stalin did. And they're not letting anyone live freely like we were supposed to under God. Why did he create free will? My God, he would have put us in chains from the beginning, and he didn't. It's crazy. People just got to get out of their own ways, too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's amazing to me.
And I see some of the chat going on. And
okay.
Mike, I think there's some disconnect here with Cal Living and some of the talk that's going on. You know, one of the parables that Christ taught was the master who gave to each of his servants 10 talents, and he left on a journey. And when he came back, the one servant had invested those 10 talents and returned to him 100, while the other one, afraid that he might lose them, buried them in the yard. And when the master came back, gave him back exactly what he had been given. And the master was angry because the one did not take any risks and did not grow or multiply the gift that he had been given dominion over. I firmly believe that God did put gold and silver here. There was there was a monetary system and a perfect valuation rate, 16 to 1. That's the occurrence of gold and silver in the earth. And when we use that gold and silver as our money, it's a very stable money supply, and it's a very stable system. It's when man gets involved and tries to hypothecate, tries to outdo what God has granted to
us by
conflating it and printing paper. See, and it's the central planning again. It's
exactly, which is the antithesis of the free market system and capitalism. And when you talked about taking the risk and not taking the risk, and I have someone with an area code of 214 on the line. And who do we have? Hello.
Hey,
oh, this. Is John.
Oh, that's Hollywood
from Texas. Hey, babe. Well, we got everybody here.
How are you?
We're doing great. So glad you're here. We've only got about 12 minutes left, but it's great. I don't know if you've heard some of the show or
I just came in. Sorry.
Yeah. I'll catch it in podcast. It's kind of fun.
Sure thing.
I have two people running this studio board because I had to call in on a landline. Got to fix this thing. It was a mess. I had a great show planned, but we're doing great. So it's kind of fun. And we're talking about capitalism, central planning, free markets, James Madison on property, the idiots with their fascism and their corporate cronyism, and people taking competition out of the way, and oh my gosh, and then they're talking about God created the earth and the gold and the oil. I mean, let's go mine it. You know, we're supposed to have dominion over the earth. I think that's biblical as well. Let's keep reading the scriptures, guys. You know, just listen to him. He'll give you the way. He'll give you the blueprint.
Linda, that's funny. Do you know how many people around don't think that man has dominion over the earth? They think that they'd rather have us not around at all. That's why you see these documentaries and Earth Without Humans. They can't wait for this. They're salivating for this.
Oh, I know.
They sure are.
You know what? I've got a whole list of them. I can probably name them. Let's see. We got Maurice Strong. We have Alexander King. We've got Ed Turner. We've got Al Gore. We've got the old people of Madame Blavatsky. We've got them all the way back to Nimrod and then some. I can name them. And whoever's the head of the EPA and the Wildlands Project and the Sierra Club. Oh, yeah. And there's a ton of them right here in Oceanside. I have their names, too. Oh, yeah. These people are disgusting. Oh, we have Bill Gates, another eugenicist.
Yeah.
Well, they can pound sand.
Linda, I would like to Go ahead. Readdress Ron on the last thing that he said.
Mikey.
Yo, brother. Listen, so Ron.
Yes, sir.
Do you honestly think that parable literally had to do with money? Do you think that's what they were talking about?
Well, they were talking about money, but it has to do with gifts.
No, not at all. Not at all. Jesus was talking about the knowledge of God. What he was saying to his disciples was that it is a big sin to be given the knowledge of God. That was the money. That was the gift. And to
so it was a gift,
not,
right?
No, but hold on. But not to go out and preach and spread the word, but to hide that special knowledge that Jesus gave to them about God. That had nothing to do with money. It was a parable. It was a metaphor.
That.
Right, so it had nothing to do with money.
It had to do with gifts, as I said.
No, but the gift was what Jesus was giving to his disciples. And
I know
their
what the
job,
gift was.
their job was to spread the word.
Okay. Well,
and the ones
okay, but
that would be punished was the ones that were learned directly from Jesus and then did nothing, buried it under the ground. If
right.
You had nothing to do with money.
Okay.
Right. It's
even
like hiding your lamp
with,
under a bushel.
Right. And when you talk about the word money and we talk about real money, hard money as opposed to the fiat currency, it's just a medium of exchange. It's something that can be assayed and hopefully not counterfeited, and we have weights and measures, and you can carry it around, and you can divide it, and you know, give change. It just makes things easier than trying to swap a turkey for an egg. I mean, it's just common sense. It's just something we use to interact with each other in a free society, if we're lucky enough to have that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We will never be a free society as long as money is in the picture and the greed for it. So this society will never be free. Understand?
I don't.
That.
No, I don't have any problem with money. Now the lust and the absolute worshiping of and idol worshiping of it, I have a problem with. But just money as a medium of exchange for me to go down and you know enroll my kid in a school or buy some clothes for the child, no, I don't have a problem with that. It's just a commodity. It's just a piece of paper or a coin. It's like an inanimate object, just like a gun. That gun ain't going to do nothing until I put my hands to it. Nothing.
Yeah.
And neither is
this
glass of wine. Nothing. It can't do anything. It's up to you.
It's the human nature. It's the human being
right.
That corrupts the whole process.
That screws
it's not
it up.
The money.
Ah, thank you. It's not the money. It's the mentality. Exactly. It's your heart. And let's face it, God is a smart one. He knows your heart. So,
No, I understand all that. But as long as we have to pay to live here, there's always going to be oppression. Always.
Well, look, I don't mind paying rent to somebody if they really own that property and, you know, the government doesn't. As long as it's reasonable. And that's another story, but we won't go there because I have 6 minutes left. But you know what I'm saying? I know what you're talking about with it. I think you're talking about taxation without representation. I don't know if you're talking about rent on your place. I don't know where you're going.
No, I'm talking about we're the only ones that have to pay to exist.
You mean
right?
Because we have to pay for our caves?
Yeah,
so
well, basically,
well,
yeah.
All right, well,
we're the only ones that kill for it.
I don't think that I'm ready to completely go back to the time when I have to carry a club around and worry about saber-toothed tigers, as Terry would say. But
I'm not saying you have to.
Congressman.
I'm just saying that we have to prepare for the inevitable. That's all.
Oh, I agree, and we may be ending up in those caves. I'm not looking forward to it, but. As long as I don't run out of ammo, I'm good. That's all I can say, baby. It's going to be a lot of buying power pretty soon. So, anyway, we've got a few minutes left, and I want to go through the group. We've got Hollywood. Go ahead and say your piece.
Well, unfortunately, I know I missed some of the show, so I'm sorry about that, Linda. I miss you too much. It's just the logistics of the show. But
right.
I did see this week where... where Barry the Dog Eater said that he's going to use the pen if he has to, or he's going to do whatever he has to push through whatever he wants to. He doesn't seem to realize that he has to work with the two other branches of Congress. And I don't know who out there voted for this person, but do you realize that he's living in a fantasy world, that this is not what the Constitution is? If he wants to say, I'm not the constitutional president, then he can be fine. We have Castro. We have plenty of people like that. So we
Texas
are getting together, and we will overcome.
Good. I agree with you on that. But in the first part of the show, I addressed that whole thing with his ridiculous proclamation. The problem is I'm faulting Congress just as much because they are the do-nothing, taking him out for beers and cigarettes at the out the back door, you know, and they don't care. They do not represent us. We do not have a republic. Wrap your head around it. Look what they do. This guy could go on TV and rob a bank, and they would cheer him.
We don't have representative government outside of a few people, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee. Just a few people, Rand Paul, that's about it.
Well, I can name a couple others, which would be Paul Brown from Georgia, Justin Amash from Michigan, Trey Gowdy, and maybe Louis Gohmert. That's it. That's my list, plus the one you talked about. I agree with you, but they are not doing their jobs at all. So it's going to be we the people, and once this financial meltdown hits, like I said in the top of the show, I'm praying that God is on our side and that we're on his, and that we do win in victory and fight in victory. I know that eventually we will. But I'm concerned about the physical part of it. I'm willing to go through it and let them shoot me full of holes, but I'm not looking forward to it. I'd rather have it a different way and we can just arrest the bastards, but that's just me.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Mikey from the hot seat. What's your final thoughts?
No, I think that well covers it. I kind of got distracted here from Cal, but when someone says God invented money, I don't think so.
He created everything of the earth, so the gold and silver are mined from the earth, and I know the oil comes from the whatever pressure, diamonds even come from pressure.
But it's human beings under the realm of Satan that has made gold and silver money.
Again,
1 John 5:19, case closed.
I get that part. But we are to have dominion over the earth, and that was coming from God, not from Satan.
And when Adam and Eve had dominion over it, what kind of dominion did they have?
They
sure didn't charge the zebras rent.
Nope, but once they were kicked out of the garden, they had to work for it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Right, and who paid them to work? No one, right? You either work or you starve to death, right?
Right.
If you didn't
pretty
have
much.
Well, right. So if you didn't have government holding your hand, how would you survive? Exactly. You'd have to You'd have to grow your own stuff. You'd have to, you know, trade your own stuff.
I would welcome getting them out. Our government right now. I hate them.
So would I.
And, Ron, what's your final thoughts? We only have about a minute left, and then I'm going to do a little music, and I'm going to do my good night to everybody. So go ahead, Ron.
God bless everybody. Prayers for Mr. Bill Strong and continued prayers for Mr. Michael Magic and for our government and for the entire world, for that matter. We need it.
Thanks so much.
All the help we can get.
And so I also want to say prayers to everybody, especially the Strong family and the Michael Magic family and everybody that I've been praying for in church that's, you know, affected in my life, friends and family and cousins and loved ones and church members. And thanks, Ron and Mikey and Johnny from Texas, all you guys, to come into the show. Bill, Cal, Lonnie, Yo previously, Rod previously, and FT, you guys are great. I'll take a little song here, and we'll see everybody for Miss Terry's deal. And I'll be here right after I do my target practice shooting at Iron Sights with my buddy. It's going to be fun. Guys, I love you guys, and God bless. Awesome show. Thanks a lot. God bless. Good night, guys.